I'm Kev Jackson, and this is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Find your great moments in Bemidji. And by Northview Bank, helping you find your piece of paradise in Paul Bunyan Country.
This is Dick Beardsley, and this is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Well, we are checking in with Eric Osberg from over in Otter Tail Country. Eric, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kev.
So I'm checking out all these pictures. I'm seeing all these wide open lakes and down in Otter Tail Country. So are you guys softwater fishing right now?
Well, I've been out once in the boat, and then it got really cold. I don't know of a lake right now that has ice, like any ice at all down here. And so I haven't been in the boat a lot. I have been once. That was more just to make sure that everything worked. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I fished while I was doing it, but I had low expectations, which I usually do because I'm, you know, because I am who I am. But once this weather warms up, we could be in the boat as much as we want once we. Or if you have a high tolerance for low temps, if you know what I mean.
So yeah,
we're wide open for sure.
Boy, that's just crazy. You know, I don't know. Do you guys have eel pout in your neck of the woods?
We do have eel pout in our neck of the woods. That is a very good point. When I've targeted eel pout in my life, I've traveled to your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But there's eel pout in multiple lakes. I know there's eel pout in Otter Tail Lake, and I know there's eel pout in Big Pine Lake. I can't speak confidently on the numbers, but no, you bring up a good point. There's eel pout, and obviously the panfish, the bluegills, the crappies, right? Like there's all sorts of angling opportunities right now.
Yeah, usually you're not doing softwater eel pouting though.
No, the one time I did do softwater eel pouting was with Jason Rylander and Jason Durham, and
Oh, sure.
it was up in your neck of the woods, and we did it super late fall. We were catching eel pout out of a boat. And they were singing songs, believe it or not, not intentionally. That wasn't our intent with the bit. I could send you the YouTube. There's a video. I could send you the YouTube link.
I would love that. I would love that.
But you're right. It's not very common to be targeting eel pout out of a boat. But one could do it if one so chose.
Well, it's going to be weird because most years, I mean, in the last few years, you know, we've had pretty close to the opener before we've been able to get out there. This year is going to be way different. Like you said, you've already been out on the boat.
Yeah, I was looking back at photos and things like that, and you know, it was late April. Some lakes had ice in May last year. And we were ice fishing and I don't know if you remember a thing called snow, but there was, you know, the problem last year was we had so much snow that there was so much slush.
Yeah.
Like we had plenty of ice, but it was just impossible to get around in April out on the lakes. This is strange territory for me. I can't remember now. I've heard people say they remember being out, you know, not too long ago out in a boat. You know, somebody said they remembered being out on a boat on St. Patrick's Day on Rush Lake. I don't recall that, but it doesn't make it not so. I hope this isn't the new normal, so to speak.
Right.
That would be challenging. So, the other opportunities that exist, river angling, right? Shore fishing, shore fishing for crappies or bluegills, and then shore fishing or you know, for suckers, and you know that you get the whole spring migrations now, right?
Right.
I haven't been out to check. I haven't been out to check yet to see if the suckers are running, but that's, you know, that's one of the things I look forward to a lot every spring is when those suckers start running. It's that old school Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer type of thing, right? Where you find a riverbank and you throw out a hook with a bunch of worms on it, or a hook with a bunch of corn on it, and you see if you can angle some suckers. You get some other unintended catches too, the carp, which, you know, aren't necessarily great for legs and stuff, but they're in the systems, and so sucker fishing can be fun. And if you're any good at smoking meat, any good at smoking fish, smoked sucker can be delicious. So there's open water opportunities, I guess, even for those without a boat. Just find a riverbank, and there's some public areas that are, you know, that are designated public areas, especially along the Otter Tail River, where somebody can go. And it's just in the springtime, it's nice to get out and feel the sun on your shoulders, you know, and you're sitting, you know, you can sit, you know, you can throw your rod out there and just prop it up and wait for it to bounce up and down. And so it's not the same, but that can be good, and, you know, that can be good too. It's just, sure, you kind of sit, you know, a lazy day on a riverbank, right?
Not bad.
No.
You got over 1,000 lakes in that county, so how much river fishing is actually done?
Not as much as it could be. That's a good question, we don't know what we don't know, right? Okay. And so so the Otter Tail River itself, like, if we just talked about the Otter Tail River, there's a state designated water trail that runs along the Otter Tail River, and the mileage, I've read that the Otter Tail River in its entirety is 192 miles long.
Wow.
I think in Otter, and this, I could be wrong about this, so you'd have to double check, you know, fact check me, but I believe in Otter Tail County, it's like 150 of those 192 are in Otter Tail County. And so it starts, you know, up north of Otter Tail County, and then there's the DNR has made public accesses that are designed for, you know, canoes or kayaks, or they're not big, huge,
right,
cement, right? They're just places for you to park, and then places for you to load in your canoe or load in your kayak or whatever it is. And so there's lots of good fishing. And if you look on the internet, or you look at a map of the Otter Tail River, it runs through, I can't remember the first few lakes, but it runs through Little Pine Lake, and then it runs through Big Pine Lake, and then it runs through Rush Lake, and then it runs through Otter Tail Lake, and then it starts heading west, and it goes through West Lost, you know, Deer Lake and West Lost Lake. And so I don't know if it'd be a dream or a goal, but I want to paddle that entire section, you know, through Otter Tail County. As far as angling goes, especially as you get closer to, so you could think about each of those lakes and the angling that exists in each of those lakes. I'm not saying you could catch walleyes in between Rush and Otter Tail, but they could be in there. You know what I'm saying? They're in Rush, they're in Otter Tail. They could be anywhere in between. But as you get closer to Fergus Falls, you get into some super smallmouth bass fishing. I personally have not experienced it, but I know there's really good smallmouth bass opportunities. There's, largemouth bass, bluegills, crappies, whatever. So, you know, if one has ever desired to float a river and you know, imagine casting a hula popper or some type of surface lure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't have to really know what you were doing other than navigating and, you know, knowing how to canoe, but you could just plop in and you could go with the current. Right now, the hard part would be somebody would have, I've been trying to plan this trip, I'm like, somebody would have to pick me up, right? Like, I'd sure. leave my truck somewhere. And I don't want to go upriver. I want to go downriver because I'm lazy. And you could just cast. You could just cast and explore, cast and explore. The not so good news is water levels are super down this year. Anyways, we'll see how much snow we get. You know how the snow impacts it. But we need. You know, I'm not saying it's not navigable at the moment. But if we don't get moisture soon,
right.
as things start to warm up and dry up. It could be a challenge, but yeah, the Ottertail River offers a ton of great angling opportunities, whether you're in a kayak or a canoe or walking the river, whatever it is, right? Like, and the sturgeon fishing, the inland sturgeon season, the inland catch and release sturgeon season doesn't end until April 14th. Might want to fact check me on that one too.
Okay.
But there is sturgeon in these systems. And so if it wasn't, you know, cold, or even if it was cold, one could go out on a lake like Ottertail and could target sturgeon right now until the season closes. Yeah, there's a lot of the river offers a lot of opportunities. And this is, I guess, another interesting fact, I think it's interesting anyways, there's a lot of public fishing piers. There's 11 public fishing piers in Ottertail County.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, they're spread out pretty far. Like the furthest one that I am familiar with on the north side is on Long Lake in Vergas. And then I guess if you went all the way through, there's one down in Parker's Prairie on Lake Adley. There's a couple by Ottertail. There's, you know, if you go to the Minnesota DNR website and, you know, or Google public accesses in Ottertail County, you'll see the fishing piers. But again, it's another way to enjoy the resources, right? Like, yep. If you don't have a boat, if you just want to take a kid, but you don't want to go through all of the hassle, right? Like, right. You just want to go watch a bobber for an hour, right? Like, the state parks, Maplewood State Park, which is up near Pelican Rapids, you know, there's a large fishing pier there. Glendalough State Park, which is down by Battle Lake, there's a fishing pier there. So. I don't want to call them non-traditional, but there's these other angling opportunities that aren't necessarily a big boat and a bunch of fancy gear.
Right. You mentioned water levels. How tough is it down there?
It's tough. I don't know. I don't have an exact, I you know, a foot down, maybe, you know, like, and it might be more than that. Like it's not great. I drive around. I get kind of sad when I drive around because you see beaver dams in dried up fields, it looks like. You know what I mean? Like those smaller ponds, some of them are not ponds anymore. Some of them are just, you know, grass. So I don't have an exact measurement. I just know that from a water standpoint, we need moisture. We need it fast, and we need lots of it. Now, we don't want too much moisture. You know, agriculture is a big part of the economy here. So we don't want the farmers to be dealing with too much water. But we're dry. I don't know the exact amount, but it's bone dry. So hoping for some April showers to bring some May flowers.
Well. We're going to get a bunch of March snow this weekend. That should help those things, but I don't know what that's going to do for the remaining ice. Might just be so heavy it falls into the lake. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I, if we get dumped on, I'd take it, right? Like any form of moisture we can get at this point, I'd take it. I'd be happy with it. So, and the other good news is if we do get dumped on, it's not going to last for 4 months. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
worst case scenario, it'll stick around for a few weeks instead of a few months. So I say, as long as everybody stays safe, I say bring it because we need it.
Yeah, we do. That's a fact. First of all, did you even really have an ice season? And if so, how was it?
It was okay. Again, fair question. I never put the hard house out. Yeah. I have a homemade 8x12, fish house. I love spending time in it, but I just didn't want to worry about it. You know what I mean? Like you put them out and then you got to kind of babysit them. And so I never put the hard house out, but I doesn't mean I didn't get to go ice fishing. I a couple of years ago, well, not a couple of years ago, last year, I traded my four wheeler in for a snowmobile with the intent of doing more running and gunning on the ice. And so we walked out, when we had ice, we walked out early ice. And then as soon as we had safe enough ice, I was, using my snowmobile and a portable. I didn't get out a ton, but I got out enough to scratch the itch. I got out enough to catch some fish. Never really was on a phenomenal bite. I tend to, if I'm walleye fishing, I tend to big fish hunt, if you know what I mean. Like I go to lakes and spots that I might not catch a lot of walleyes, but if I do, it might be a big one. We did get out on a couple of panfish trips, and that's always fun. But the ice was like, there was one lake. Star Lake is a pretty popular lake. It's a big lake, but it had, 15, 16 inches of ice. So I was, I was able to drive a vehicle onto Star Lake. But there were parts of the lake that had way less than that. Right. So it was just a nerve wracking kind of year. The last trip that I went out, I think it was the last trip, we have this relationship with the University of Minnesota Gophers. And so we took the new Gophers quarterback and defensive lineman who's from Perham. The defensive lineman is from Perham.
Okay.
We were able to get them out ice fishing. They had a trip. They came up and a meet and greet and whatever. And we had a very small window, right? Like, it's not like they were hanging out all day long, and ice fishing, can be challenging. And so, it was late February, February 24th. And it was the last weekend for walleyes and pike. And we took them out, and we got luck. We caught a number of small pike, and then Max Brosmer, the new Gopher quarterback, he caught a really nice pike. We never laid a tape on it, but it was 30 plus inches for sure. I don't know if it was close to 35, but it was, so anyways, that was one of the last, and what's weird is I went out the night before to triple check the ice, right? Cause it was late February and we didn't have a ton of ice and there was zero snow. And, I went out to go check, and it was really cold that night, and the ice just felt weird and it sounded weird. And I was like, man, I don't like this a lot. and then on Saturday when we went, it felt fine. It felt different. It was quiet and all that stuff. But I heard more ice cracking this year than I've ever heard before. And I know that I know that can be a good thing, right? Like it's making, you know, you always tell people, don't worry, it's just, we're making ice, right? Like that's the sound lakes yeah. make when they expand. But it was nonstop. You'd be sitting in the shack in the portable and it was just boom, 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 crack, 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 boom, boom, boom the whole time. And so it was just, it was weird. It was just a weird, weird winter.
Yeah, I think that's the word for it. I can't think of a better one.
No.
Well, based on your sage wisdom of, you know, what you experienced last year during soft water, what you did see in during the ice fishing this year, how are our populations looking? How's the bite looking for 2024?
I'm excited. For the walleye anglers out there, if you've never been to Ottertail early in the season, it can be phenomenal. And I think you and I have talked about this before, but there's a tournament called the Real Country Classic. It's a radio station. Oops, sorry, they're probably a competitor of yours. I shouldn't have mentioned that. But there's a walleye tournament on Ottertail, and it's always the weekend after the opener.
Okay.
So but the reason I bring it up is that week we try to pre-fish it a lot, right?
Sure.
And it is like we in the tournament, I mean, we've had 50 fish days, 75 fish days, right? Like, and they're nice fish. They're not, there's Ottertail is notorious for, I don't know if I can, for dinky little walleyes, right? Like there's a lot of 9, 10, 11 inch walleyes in that lake, which is good, right? Like that means the fishery is healthy, right?
Yes.
But man, this early season on Ottertail, you're catching fat 18s, 19s, 16s, 17s, 20s, 20, you know what I mean? Like there's just this. So based on old information, I'm excited for that first week or two or three like that. And that bite can last, and it's a shallow bite. It's a shallow water bite, which is, you and I have talked about, I'm a huge fan of. You're pitching light jigs, 16th ounce, and I'm not kidding. A 16th ounce, you know, catching a walleye on a 16th ounce jig is usually, when you think of jig fishing for walleyes, you're thinking of a quarter ounce, right?
Right.
You're thinking a quarter ounce, 20 feet of water or whatever. Well, this is a 16th ounce jig in 5, 6, 7 feet of water. And the trick is trying to have a long enough cast with that light of a jig. It doesn't have to be a 16th. It could be an 8th. It could be a quarter, whatever. And then if you're not into that finesse, if you will, what I like to do is I'll put a heavy jig, like a 3/8 or a 1/2 ounce jig, and then I'll put a plastic on there. And that thing I can just bomb cast, right? Like I can cast that thing as far as I want. And then I just rip that sucker back, right? Like you rip it hard and then it falls and it hits the bottom, and then you rip it hard and it falls and hits the bottom. And I don't have visual confirmation of this, but I feel like sometimes those walleyes will smack it when it's on the bottom, right? So you give it a big rip and then you sit and then you pause. And I swear, just from knowing where I'm at in my rhythm, and then you can, I don't know how to explain it, but just all of a sudden, you know, as you go to jig again or rip again, boom. So I'm excited about that. But before opener, I'm excited about sight fishing for crappies. Have you ever sight fished for crappies, Kev?
I have not.
Dude, it is it's almost unfair, and you have to respect the resource.
Of course you do.
You have to. You could do a lot of harm.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, bluegills and crappies seasons don't close. And it doesn't always happen before the opener. Let me preface that. Sometimes it's after the opener. It all depends on the circle of life cycle thing, right?
Right.
So, but you get a pair of nice. It doesn't even have to be nice. You get a pair of polarized glasses. You get a calm, sunny day, and you just drive very slowly and quietly, stealthily along the edge of reeds, and you just look. You don't cast, you don't do anything, you just look. It's like the poor man's forward facing sonar, right? Like
yeah.
you're just driving around with a lure in your hand and you're just looking. And if you know, I always tell my boy, it's better to be too early than too late, right? Like the first few times we go do this, we might not see a thing.
Yeah.
But then the one time that if we time it right, we go, there's just oodles of crappies up in the reeds. They're spawning, right? And so that's why you want to be careful. Highly encourage catch and release if you can.
Of course.
But then you'll just see them sitting there, and it's what we have found is old school super long rods. Like if you can find a super goofy long rod, and you're not even casting, you're just dangling this lure in front of them. And they take it and it's fun because it's so visual, right? Like even if you're not catching them, you're reminded, oh my gosh, there's a lot of crappies in this lake, or there's a lot of bluegills. The other thing that it helps you do is it helps you, you know, so crappies usually go before bluegills as far as the spawn is concerned.
Yeah.
And so eventually if you keep doing it, you'll see some bluegills up there too, and you'll be like, okay, that's starting now. So, and that, again, that can be pre-opener. I'm gonna target crappies pre-opener too, whether they're in the reeds or not. But to answer your question, I'm super jacked about otter tail early. I'm super jacked about sight fishing for crappies, and that can be any lake that has a healthy crappie population and reeds. And that can be if you're trying to get a kid, if you're listening and you have a young child and you want to try to get them excited about fishing, sight fishing opportunities are a really fun way to do it. Cause the kids, it can be like looking at an aquarium, right? Like if you're the type of person that enjoys going to big box stores that have aquariums, or if you like going to aquariums, or if you just like fish, or if your kids like fish, like trying to find a lake, cruising along a reed bed. And the other thing I would say about if you're trying that is sometimes you've got to go into the, like, you can't just be on the edge. Sometimes you got to venture deep into those reeds. And that can be a little challenging if they're super thick and your trolling motor gets all, you know, full of reeds and all that stuff. So you don't want to do, again, use caution, but enjoy the resource that's available at the time.
Hey, we got a ton more to talk about with Eric Osberg of Otter Tail Country next.
I'm Eric Osberg, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, the show where dozens of guys and gals like me cover Kev Jackson's, can we say this on the radio?
Be the traveler, be the adventurer, be the trailblazer, and cherish those great moments when you visit Bemidji.
Plan your excursion today.
Enjoy unique lodging, engaging hospitality, and outdoor adventures in a pristine natural setting.
Fish over 400 lakes or explore over 160 miles of bike trails.
You don't even have to bring your watercraft. You can rent one here.
Plan your adventure today at visitbemidji.com.
Mark Harmon of Northview Bank is back. He's the guy that helps you make your Paul Bunyan Country dreams come true. Hey, Mark, what makes Northview Bank the place to go when you found that perfect piece of Paul Bunyan Country for hunting, for fishing, or that perfect vacation home?
You know, being a local lender and being an expert in our area when it comes to land loans, we have a tremendous amount of resources at Northview Bank.
Yeah, that HELOC is a great way for you to use what you already have to make phase two of your life or that dream home possible.
Right. Yeah. And HELOC's a home equity line of credit. And over time, a lot of us pick up a lot of equity in our houses, especially as we're paying it down over time. But markets change. And when markets go up, you kind of build a little bit of a piggy bank there. And it's a nice way to be able to access the equity in your property or in your home to be able to accomplish some of those dreams as well. a home equity line of credit that we can accomplish for you is a perfect tool.
He's Mark Harmon of Northview Bank. Northview Bank with many locations, including several right here in Paul Bunyan country. Northview Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. You can find out more at northviewbank.com.
Hi, this is Nate Blazing with the Nisswa Guide League, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Talking Otter Tail Country Fishing with Eric Osberg.
Eric, you know, if we look again at Otter Tail Country and its 1,000-plus lakes, obviously you've got some great walleye waters there, no question about it, Otter Tail Lake among them. But there are so many great panfish lakes. I mean, there's guides that's what they do. It's panfish. That's a rarity. Is walleye king in Otter Tail Country, or is it not?
I think it is.
Okay.
I'm speculating. I think walleye is king throughout the state of Minnesota, right? So
right.
a lot of our visitors in the summer, you know what I mean? I don't know if I've bored you with this story before, but you know, my dad and my uncles, they come up every June and we go to stay at Holly's Resort on Otter Tail. And I wouldn't say not one of them. There's one person on that crew who would be just as happy catching crappies or bluegills. But the rest of it, it's a mindset, right? We're going on a fishing trip. We're going up north. We want to catch walleyes. We want to have a fish fry, right? Like that's the quintessential Minnesota lake life experience, right?
It is.
But that being said, I think there's a different appreciation in Otter Tail County for those bluegills and crappies. And I'm not saying it's not popular. It is very, very, very popular. I just don't think it matches. I just think walleye is king as far as that goes. Which is okay. I mean, that's fine. More for us type of deal. But I've been on a school of walleye and I've been on a school of crappie or bluegill, and a school of crappie or bluegill, like, you know, my father-in-law and I, like we've counted like 22 straight casts, right? I'm making that number up. I don't remember it being 22, but it was more than 20, right?
Yeah.
But 20, let's just call it 20, 20 straight casts between the two of us catching a crappie. I practice catch and release way more than I harvest fish. Like if anybody's like wondering, I don't keep a lot of fish. But that's just fun. And I had I don't know what relation he would, my father-in-law's sister's husband, so whatever that is, he was with us last year, and it was his first time on this particular lake, and every crappie he caught, he just kept saying jeepers, you know, every single one was 12 to 13 inches and it had shoulders, right? He was just like, oh my gosh, he was almost angry, you know, he was, I don't know how to explain his reaction, but it was he's an angler, right? Like it wasn't his first time fishing. It's just you run into these bodies of water that have big, you know, healthy, you know, 12, 13, 14, dare I say 15 inch crappies with shoulders that are thick and tall. Like they're fun to catch, man. And you're doing it with light gear, right? Like you're using those light rods, you're using light tackle. Whether it's a thumper jig or tough tubes, Northland Fishing Tackle makes these tough tubes, and man, those things they are tough. They last through a lot of fish. So I don't use a lot of live bait, and I don't keep a lot of fish. So for whatever that means, another way to catch crappies is super small. Husky jerks, I like to cast cranks, and so you can get, and that's probably what I'll do early, like the next time I go out looking for crappies, really small husky jerks or X-wraps or those, you know, those little tiny stick baits, not tiny, like, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Those smaller stick baits. Again, it lets you cast really far and it lets you work a lot of water on your way back to the boat. Walleye is king, but panfish are at least the prince, if not the queen. So we'll find out.
How into electronics are you? You got the latest and greatest?
I do not. And I don't have an opinion, if you're wondering.
Okay.
I don't have an opinion. I don't have a strong opinion. If anybody asks, well, why doesn't Eric have forward facing sonar? I'll be honest. I can't afford it. I'm sorry. you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I think it's okay to admit that, right? Like, not, you don't need, does it help? Absolutely. Is it doing more harm than good? I don't know, but you don't need it. Like, I like it. When I'm in boats, when people have it, that's great. I love it, but I just can't afford it. Okay. And so I don't buy it. And that's, if I win one, or if I, you know what I mean? If a stroke of luck comes my way, would I utilize it? Probably. But
I'm hearing from more and more hardliners. They've lost the war. They saw it in action and they were seduced.
And they got seductive for sure. I'm not trying to make a moral stance or anything like that. Right. Like I can't afford it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's out of everybody's reach. Some people can, some people can't, right? Like, right. I drive an old beat up truck because I don't, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to call it a lifestyle choice, but it's a choice. If I were to share one concern that I have, it's, again, I spent a lot of my adult life trying to get kids into fishing.
Yes.
And I totally get how that type of technology helps engage them, right?
Yep.
But are they learning the true essence of fishing?
Good question. Right? Really, like, good question.
I'm trying to stay out of it, right? Like, I'm trying to stay out of that. Don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics, and don't talk about forward facing sonar, right? Like, that's,
I don't know which order, but yeah.
That's the new, that's the, my personal approach, right? Like, to each their own. But I do, like, we have high school fishing, right?
Yep.
And some boats have it and some boats don't. And I'm not complaining. I'm not whatever. That's, you know, life ain't fair and the world is mean, but I wonder, you know, yes, it is a way to get kids into fishing, but is it the true essence of the traditional sport that I like, you know, the, at its core, in its most simplistic form, you know, imagine being in the boundary waters on a canoe, right, with a rod and a very limited amount of tackle.
Yeah.
That's to me the ultimate essence of the tradition of angling. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now imagine having a pole sticking out of the side with a with a big huge battery. You know what I mean? Like it's just it's change is inevitable. I believe change is the only constant. But I personally have not decided to make it a part of my routine. Number one, because I can't afford it, and number two, because I do have some concerns about it changing the experience.
Okay. All right. Well, you got time for a Fast Five before we call it a day.
For sure, 100%.
All right, here we go. Eric Osberg, Mr. Ottertail, with the Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Question number one. Do you have a bucket lake? In other words, a lake or a body of water on your bucket list where you need to go and fish before your days on this planet are done?
Yes. I'm going to, two of them.
Okay.
One of them is Pipestone Lake in Canada. And I have fished there before. I fished there. It was where I caught my 30-inch walleye, the only 30-inch walleye I've ever caught. It's a drive-in trip. It's not that far up. And I was there when I was 16 years old. And I'm 50-plus now, okay, which is hard to say. But you know what I mean? So I want to take my boy and whoever else wants to go, I want to take my boy there. The other bucket lake is, and this isn't necessarily a lake, but I want to get into lake trout ice fishing in Ely. Every winter, I tell my boy, we got to go catch a lake trout through the ice. And I know that there's not a gazillion of them, but I want to fail at it a few times. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I want to start every, what I told my boy's birthday's in March. I'm like, dude, we just need to put it on the calendar. Some weekend in March, we're going to Ely. And we're going to try to catch a lake trout through the ice. Even if we fail, it'll be fun. And so that, those are my two bucket lists.
All right. Question number two. Who is your favorite Minnesota Twins player of all time?
And these are always so good. I've exposed my age, and so I'm thinking back to my youth. It's got to be Kirby Puckett. It's just it has to be. Game six of the World Series. What better team player, like his hustle. You know, he was a hustle guy. He was all those things. He was lovable, right? Like, there was little teddy bears, Kirby, like, you know.
Yep.
It's got to be Kirby Puckett.
Yeah. Kirby's definitely up there. I'm a little bit older than you. My first autograph was Rod Carew, so that means, you know, that warms my heart. I still have it hanging on my wall. As far as players I've met, though, it's hard to beat Harmon Killebrew. Just one of the nicest people I have ever met in any walk of life.
I've always had an affinity for those lower tier utility guys. Do you remember Lou Ford?
Lou Ford, yes.
Right, like I can't think of other names, but players like Lou Ford. I always rooted through. I'm an underdog guy, and you always, I just liked it when Lou, when they announced Lou Ford, or you know what I mean. There's a dozen of those guys, but Kirby Puckett's at the top of the list. And then I just have an affinity for those short time midfield, utility guys. I always like those guys too.
Question number three. If you weren't doing what you're doing, what would you be doing?
Wow, again, great question. I would probably say I would like to give guiding a try, like full-time guiding. And I know those guys work harder. Those guys work so hard, right? Like, it's day after day. It's a grind, man. And they get up early, and they don't get to get to bed till late. Like, I get that. But I enjoy taking people fishing, right? I can enjoy time in the boat. I enjoy conversations. I enjoy being outside, right? Like, I was outside, I sit in an office a lot, and I was outside the other day. I'm like, man, I'm just happier when I'm outside.
Right.
And so if I had to choose a different career, I would hope that it would be outdoors. And I would want to give full-time guiding a whirl, see if I couldn't, pay the bills. And if worst case scenario, I'd be fishing.
Yeah, right. Question number four, controversial.
Oh.
What is the best cereal?
I don't know where you come up with these, but every time it's like best cereal. Lucky Charms. I was eating Lucky Charms the other day, and I'm like, I wonder if they have ever thought of selling just the marshmallows. Like, just a box of marshmallows. And it doesn't have to be a big box, right? It could be a little bag. But, you know, has anybody out there ever taken all of the marshmallows out, put them in a Ziploc bag, and just snacked on those things? Mm. And then the milk gets it all, you know. I'm going to go with Lucky Charms.
Well, they are magically delicious.
They are.
All right, final question, number 5, simple yes or no answer. Well, maybe not simple, but it's a yes or no answer. Will the Minnesota Vikings win a Super Bowl in your lifetime?
No.
finally an honest man.
Like, how much more evidence does one need, right? Like I've been a Vikings fan. I call myself a recovering Vikings fan.
Yeah.
I can't watch the games live.
You and my dad.
I remember the moment. It was, I struggled to root for Brett Favre when he was here. I couldn't do it. I could not root for Brett Favre. I had developed such a distaste for the man that I couldn't break. And so I remember the moment. I was at my in-laws' house, and the Vikings were playing San Francisco. Brett Favre was the quarterback. And my middle-aged daughter, and I don't remember how old she was. I could do the math, but whatever. Let's say she's 2.
Okay.
She came up to me and said something, and I snapped at her. Like, I yelled at her or whatever. And I'm like, that's wrong. That's not healthy at all. Like, you shouldn't yell at your 2-year-old because of this game. And so at that moment, I took her and I, and we went and sat on the stoop, and we just sat outside, right? And then one of my wife's aunt came running out. They won. You know, that was when Brett Favre hit, I don't know who, at the back of the end zone last second to win.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have not watched a live game since then. Now, I'm still a huge fan. I still suffer every loss. I still celebrate every victory. But, like, I'm not saying it's cursed or whatever, but no, they're not winning a Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, harsh but probably healthy words that we need to know as Viking fans from Eric Osberg to wrap it up.
Lower your expectations and you won't be disappointed.
I tried to tell dates like that in college. It didn't work then either.
Well, stick to your mantra. Something will work out.
He is.
That's what if I was a guide, that's what I would tell people. Lower your expectations, and you won't be disappointed. If I was a guide, the name of my guide service would be "Should have been here yesterday." And that way, when people called, they'd be like, "How's fishing?" Because that's how every guide conversation starts. I'm like, well, you should have been here yesterday.
Right. I love it. He's Eric Osberg from Otter Tail Country. Oh, what a great, great conversation we had today. Eric, always great to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Kev. Really appreciate it.
Paul Bunyan Country. Country.